You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are two versions of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and Luke chapter 11, verses 39 through 42.
Micah 6:8 from the New Revised Standard Version. You have been shown, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Micah 6:8 from the Jerusalem Bible. What is good has been explained to you, mortal. This is what Yahweh asks of you. Only this, to act justly, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly with your God.
From Luke, Jesus has been invited to dine with a Pharisee. He entered and took a seat without washing first. The Pharisee was surprised. It was the common practice to wash before a meal. Jesus responded,
"Oh, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and plate, while inside yourselves you are filled with extortion and wickedness. Fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside too? Instead, give alms from what you have, and then indeed everything will be clean for you."
But alas for you, Pharisee, you who pay your tithe of mint and rue and all sorts of garden herbs and overlook justice and the love of God.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Why, I am a Wesleyan, but not that kind. My name is Raymond Spooner. My friends call me Ray, and a few say other things, but I won't go there. I have been a Methodist my entire life, except for a time as an Episcopalian. Not surprising to many, as John Wesley was an Anglican priest his entire ministry. So I found it was a good fit for that time of my life. I was a bright student. That is, I graduated from Bright Divinity School at Texas Christian University. Ordained as a deacon, I served United Methodist churches in Texas and Indiana before stepping away from the pulpit. If I am being honest with myself, I regret leaving that part of my life behind. Don't misunderstand, the 30-plus years as a teacher were very rewarding, and I feel God did good things with my time in the classroom. It all adds up. I taught math. John Wesley and his brother Charles are credited with the beginnings of Methodism. John and Charles joined with Robert Kirkham and William Morgan in a religious group study at Oxford in 1729. The group was derisively called the Methodists because of their emphasis on methodical study and devotion. Charles was originally the leader, but John took over and helped the movement grow in numbers. As the Holy Club, they were known for their frequent communion services and for fasting 2 days a week, which I'm sure I could use. By 1730, the group added social services to their activities. They visited Oxford prisons, teaching them to read, paying the prisoners' debts, and attempted to find employment for them. They extended their activities to workhouses and poor people, distributing food, clothes, medicine, and books, and also created a school. Unfortunately, when the Wesleys left the Holy Club in 1735, the group fell apart. Also in 1735, John and Charles's father passed away. This had a very interesting effect on them, as that moved them toward the idea of going to Georgia when John was persuaded by an Oxford colleague of his and the governor of the colony of Georgia, I believe it was Oglethorpe, to oversee the spiritual lives of the colonists and to missionize the native people as an agent of the society for the propagation of the gospel. John's brother came with him and introduced John to some Moravian immigrants. To John, the Moravians appeared to possess the spiritual peace he was seeking. John served faithfully, but his high churchmanship got him in trouble. Because of a personal mistake on his part, John fled Georgia and returned to England in 1737, an abject failure. Back in England, John met Peter Bowler, a Moravian, who convinced John what he needed was simply faith. On May 24, 1738, in Aldersgate Street, while listening to the reading of Martin Luther's commentary on the letter of Paul to the Romans, as many of us here may recall, he felt his heart strangely warmed. He began to preach the good news of salvation by faith. His enthusiasm was not well received by the Church of England congregations, and he was actually barred from their pulpits. He then worked with mostly Moravian bands. These became Methodist societies. By 1743, he published Rules for the Societies. He became an itinerant preacher, but most ordained clergy did not like his approach. John turned to dedicated laymen who then became itinerant preachers themselves. By 1784, John had to find a way to send ordained clergy to the colonies. The Bishop of London refused to perform these ordinations. So, John performed them himself, saying he had the authority because the societies operated independently of the Church of England. By the time of his death, John was an honored figure in the British Isles. So why am I a Met Wesleyan? Is it the methodical ways of study? No. Is it justification by faith alone? Yes, to a point. But for me, it goes beyond Bible study and worship to putting faith in action. The song we all know, "They Know We Are Christians," say it with me, "By Our Love." The Old Testament reading today tells us all we need to know about God's expectation of us. Act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with your God. One of the many events in John Wesley's life revolves around seeking justice for the oppressed, the prisoners, the poor, the hungry. Our second scripture reading speaks of the outside and the inside, how the Pharisees liked the outwardly display of perfection, the clean outside of the cup or plate, but failed to seek inside cleanliness. John Wesley's loving tenderness toward these groups of people came from inside. This concern was not part of the Church of England doctrines of the time. John was humbled by the events in Georgia. He nearly lost his faith in God and in himself. The spiritual openness of the Moravians and his desire to serve God brought him to preach to the masses, the unchurched. I am a Wesleyan of this type, doing the work of helping others through my faith in God. There are many examples of what keeps me in the Methodist, United Methodist, that is, column. The Book of Discipline section on doing theology, UMCOR and VIM, the Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors motto of the United Methodist Church. And now that I'm here at the Fountains, we put love first. I strongly believe that we worship a living God and read a written word. Others, the Wesleyan Covenant Association, WCA, which in their words would like to become a denomination, see the scriptures as, quote, the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. The problem is they do not say what translation or transliteration or adaptation they mean by biblical authority. Not a great scholar, but trained seminarian, I am abundantly aware of how the Bible can be used and abused by those church leaders who seek to control their members. The WCA uses their statements of faith, the Nicene Creed of 381, the Articles of Religion of the Methodist Church, 1808, the Confession of Faith of the Evangelical United Brethren Church of 1963, the Standard Sermons of John Wesley, the Explanatory Notes upon the New Testament by John Wesley from 1755, and the General Rules of the Methodist Church from 1868. Wow, talk about being up to date. Biblical scholars are no longer needed today since everything we need to know is already written. Talk about being out of date. You can see more at WesleyanCovenant.org. But a quick look at their statements. They agree to gender equality, equality, and human dignity. Concerning human dignity, they profess, and I quote, "Every person must be afforded compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity. Hateful and harassing behavior or attitudes directed toward any individual or group are to be repudiated and are not in accord with Scripture nor the doctrines of the WCA." But then they also speak of marriage and sexuality and make it very authoritarian. Marriage is between one man and one woman. No room for same-sex unions. Clearly ruling out the possibility that God just might be more accepting of the LGBTQ folks around us. I am a Wesleyan, but not this kind. I mentioned the Book of Discipline on Doing Theology. It is important to me. It says, we have the right, responsibility, if you will, to do theology. When there is a question before us and we seek spiritual guidance, we use the four principles set forth in the Book of Discipline. What does Scripture say? What does our tradition tell us? What does our own experience lead us to? And what does our God-given mind or reason tell us? This allows us a personal relationship with God, unique to each of us. I also mentioned UMCOR and VIM. The United Methodist Committee on Relief is the administrative body which funds VIM, Volunteers in Mission, around the world. Each annual conference has leaders of the VIM programs and events in their conferences. Here are a few examples of VIM work. I call these Faith in Action events. A trip to Weed, California to help Habitat for Humanity and local agency rebuild after a massive fire destroyed a third of the homes in the area. Weed is just north of Mount Shasta in Northern California. This is our crew building the foundation forms for a new home sponsored by Habitat. This house is a little further along, putting on roofing and finishing the siding. Why am I a Wesleyan? VIM trips to Puerto Rico. Here are a few shots of the destruction we witnessed. Trees flattened and trees uprooted. Our crew, all in our early response team t-shirts, which were not needed because it was 6 months after the hurricane, and some of the work we were able to accomplish. Where there was no room, we totally rebuilt a room or the one that was destroyed, created a new wall foundation, and then put the walls up, and then finally leaving the site, showing some of the work that we were able to accomplish. It was very rewarding to see the family. The day I went back with the local person that drove us around and witnessed the family pulling out their paintbrushes and rollers and ready to get started on their repaired home. These Encore-sponsored events are everywhere. Here at the Fountains, we heard last Sunday, we have a wood shop where we build ramps. The SAWS program, here are two slides of work we recently did in the Hopi Nation, is alive and well. We are making a difference in the lives of many through our hands, splinters and all, prefabricating ramps. We currently have, I believe, 6 ramps that we need to complete in the next several months to make them available for projects in this annual conference. My previous church connection in Livermore went through the process of becoming a reconciling ministry congregation several years back. It was a trying time. Found out some of the congregants were a bit more conservative than I had thought. They thought we were asking too much of ourselves in trying to bring in those people. In the end, we joined. That congregation has been part of an organization known as Open Heart Kitchen for decades. They added first a shower ministry, then when they built a new fellowship hall, and then a laundry ministry. On their back 5 acres, they are part of the International Home of Fertile Groundworks, including Garden of Grace. It's not much. It's a building that's, I think, 6 by 12, maybe a little larger than that, but we still call it the International Home of Fertile Groundworks. Fertile Groundworks furnishes a significant part of the Open Heart Kitchen needs for fresh vegetables. To me, these are Wesleyan ideas, which I stand by. It is these programs which represent the true nature of the United Methodist Church. Open hearts, serving others with love. Open minds, listening to the people and meeting them in their time of needs. And open doors, accepting all. 2 final comments. A seminary friend sitting on the university library steps, and this is like 40 years ago, called out to another person with the words, "Hey," with the N-word. I challenged him why. He said they were co-opting the derisive word to take the stinging away from those who used it with a cruel meaning. I mentioned the Holy Club was derisively called the Methodists. The name was turned into a good thing by John and Charles. So I offer 2 little phrases, bumper sticker ideas to ponder. Adding to WWJD, we can use WWWD. What would Wesley do? And in this strange time in history, when a 4-letter word has so much unclear meaning, woke becomes instead the wonder of knowing each other. May we be open to the Spirit and how we are moved to be Wesleyans, but not that kind.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.